In today's gospel, we get the beautiful reminder of Jesus' attitude toward children and the instruction that we ourselves must be like children. I would love to focus on that, but we're not going to spend so much time focusing on that message because the theme chosen for today's Mass is from the first reading, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful indeed. This theme, which comes from the letter of James, gives us an opportunity to reflect a little bit on prayer. You could even say on the power of prayer. It's fitting that we turn to this topic because we are about to begin the great season of Lent, and we know that the three pillars of the Lenten season, really the three pillars of the Christian life, prayer, fasting, almsgiving. So prayer is one of the essential parts of the Christian life. If we don't pray, we're not living as Christians. Prayer is like breathing for the spiritual life. If we don't breathe, we die. So this is the topic for this morning. The prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. To start with the simplest application of this message, this reminds us of something very basic about prayer, and that is that it's a good thing to do. We shouldn't have to be reminded of this, but there are many voices in the world these days that say prayer is a waste of time. Prayer doesn't do anything, so don't bother. That's wrong. The truth is, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. So we are directly contradicting by our belief and by our practice what is commonly thought in the world, that prayer is useless or prayer is a waste of time. Prayer doesn't do anything. Prayer, if it does anything, all it does is make old ladies feel better because they don't have anything else to do, so they just pray. Well, that's wrong. In fact, if you want to understand the importance of prayer, look at the context of this passage from the letter of James. Listen to what he says. Beloved, is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Okay, so first message of the first reading, if we're suffering, we should pray. Well, we're all suffering something, but some people are suffering a lot, and we know people who are suffering, and we should be praying. Secondly, is anyone in good spirits? He should sing a song of praise. That's also prayer. So if we're suffering, what should we do? We should pray. If we're in good spirits, what should we do? We should pray. It doesn't mean the same kind of prayer. It doesn't mean we have the same emotion in our prayer. But whether we're having a bad day or a good day, whether we're suffering or we're in good spirits, we should pray. Then what does he say? Is anyone among you sick? Well, of course, if someone's sick, we pray. But here he adds, if someone is sick, they should call for the priest, and the priest should anoint that person. This is one of the scriptural bases for the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. The priest anoints sick people with oil, prays over them, lays hands on them, and the Lord raises the sick person up, and if the person has committed any sins, his sins will be forgiven. So prayer has this effect of relieving suffering. Prayer has this effect of raising our joyful spirits to God in song. Prayer has the effect of healing. Prayer has the effect of forgiveness. At least this isn't even halfway through the reading. Then he goes on, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. So we're not just praying for ourselves, praying for one another, that you may be healed. And then it comes to the theme that we have chosen for today. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. And James points to the example of the great prophet Elijah. What does he say about Elijah? Elijah was a man like us. But when he prayed, it had extraordinary effect. So that's the example James uses. We're ordinary people, just like Elijah. If we are fervent and if we are righteous, our prayer is very powerful. Now, Okay, so that sets us in the right direction. Prayer is important, prayer is effective, prayer is powerful. So set aside all those complaints of the world, which keep coming up. And you know, the people will say, you've been praying for the end of the pandemic for 2 years, obviously it doesn't work. Well, I would hate to think of what the world would be like if we weren't praying for 2 years. People are saying we've been praying and praying so that the war would not break out in Ukraine. War has broken out in Ukraine. Well, does that mean that our prayers aren't effective? No. We don't know all the effects of prayer, but we do know prayer is effective. Now, this is where the reflection on prayer has to get a little deeper. Because if we remain on the surface, we'll say, okay, we're told by James that prayer is powerful, but when we look around, it looks like it's not powerful, so what's the real story here? We have to get into the mystery of prayer. Prayer is not control over God. Prayer is not telling God what to do, or telling him to do something that he wouldn't do otherwise. Prayer is not powerful in the sense of we're more powerful than God is, and a holy person is even more powerful against God. That's all distortions of the truth about prayer. When James says the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful, he's taking it for granted that we understand that prayer is based on our relationship with God. It's not just something we do. It's our way of tapping into what God is doing. The power doesn't come from us or from our prayer. It comes from God. So that's why this is sometimes distorted, because it sounds like if we pray fervently, we pray a lot, or we pray and we're righteous, well, then we're powerful. Not exactly so. That's just a shortcut for describing what happens when we pray. That is, we're tapping into the power of God. That's why it's powerful. And a person who is righteous, meaning holy, a person who has submitted himself or herself to God, is tapping into that power more effectively. The foundation of prayer is not our holiness. The foundation of prayer is not our goodness or our fervence. It's not our goodness. The foundation of prayer is humility on our part. Humility. It's accepting our dependence on God. It's our acceptance of our weakness without God. It's openness to the power of God. If we don't have that, well then, we might not even be praying at all. If we think that we're changing God's mind, or we're changing the will of God, or telling God something he didn't know, or reminding him of something he should be doing, well then we're misunderstanding prayer. God knows, he knows what we need before we ask for it. God knows what is good for us more than we do. God knows how to bring good out of suffering and evil in a way that we can't understand in this life. So we don't have to tell God what to do, but we do have to turn to God so that his will can reign in us. That's when the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. So it is connected to today's gospel, where Jesus says you have to become like a child. A child meaning be humble before God, be accepting of your dependence on God, like a child. You could even say the fervent prayer of a child is very powerful. The very power, in fact, it's even clearer when it comes to children, because children are not powerful. Children are weak by definition. They're dependent by definition. Why is their prayer powerful? Because they are more open to the power of God. That's why it's very important to teach children to pray and to involve them in praying for peace in the world, peace in Ukraine, praying for the end of the pandemic, praying for the elections. These things are the right things for children to pray for, and they pray with great simplicity. Okay, now let's go back to the example that James uses of Elijah. Elijah was a man like us, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain. Well, why would anybody pray for it to not rain for 3 years and 6 months? Why would anyone pray for something bad to happen? This is where we have to recognize God uses what we think of as bad things to bring about greater good. And a praying person has to be open to that reality, even though we can't see it all or understand it completely. We have to be open to the possibility that God is allowing this or that bad thing because it's going to have good effect. Naturally, we think of the pandemic. What good could possibly come from the pandemic? Well, let's let God be in charge of that. He has many, many times used sickness to draw people to himself. He has many times used the humiliation of helplessness to draw people to himself. And it's certainly true that the modern world needs to be reminded of the importance of God. So this pandemic, may it have that effect, if nothing else, may it draw us closer to God. Same with the war. I mean, everyone knows that the world is concerned about what this war in Ukraine might mean and how it might affect not only the Ukrainians and the Russians, but how it might affect the whole world. Well, God is in charge of the world. And when wars break out, it's because of the sin of man, but it's also God knowing how to bring good out of evil. And our prayer for peace, very important, very powerful, our prayer for peace is part of God bringing good out of this mess. By the way, you know that the Holy Father has asked us to pray especially the Rosary for peace and to pray on this upcoming Ash Wednesday to pray and fast for peace, which is exactly the right thing to do. We don't have tanks and grenade launchers and missiles. We do have rosaries, we do have the Mass, we do have prayer. We have spiritual weapons, and they're very powerful. Again, not because of our power, but because of God's power. One last reflection on this. James says the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. He's not saying the fervent prayer of a self-righteous person. It's two different things. A self-righteous person thinks that he has goodness in himself because of what he does. And sometimes when people pray, they clog up their prayer with self-righteousness. It's pride, really. That is an interference with the power of prayer. He doesn't say a self-righteous person, a person who thinks that he's good because he's praying. He says a righteous person, that's a holy person, a person who's submitted to God. That person, those people, are the ones whose prayer is powerful. That's why we ask people who pray, and James says, ask people who pray to pray for you. That's why we put intentions on our prayer chain. That's why we ask the monasteries to pray. That's why we ask the children to pray, because they're the righteous people. We should be too, but we depend on the prayers of one another. Okay, so that's just a little reminder to us of the importance of prayer, of why we pray, and of why prayer is powerful. This can keep us motivated when it looks to us like nothing's happening, or when it looks to us like we're wasting our time, our prayer is useless. That's wrong. That's a false impression of what's really happening when we pray. When we pray, when we persevere in prayer, when we humbly pray, when we submit ourselves to God in prayer, we're not going to get disappointed if we don't get what we want, because the purpose is not to impose our will on God. The purpose is to unite our will with God's will. So don't give up on prayer. Don't get discouraged with prayer. Don't think that prayer doesn't work. The truth is, I'll just say it one more time, the truth is, a fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. So let's be powerful in our prayer. Gosh, we have so many prayers that were assigned. The prayer of the Oratio Imperata every day, the prayer for the synod in the church, the prayer for the elections, the prayer for peace in Ukraine, prayer for the end of the pandemic. So and all the other concerns that we carry and our loved ones carry. We are not helpless before all these things. We have the powerful weapon of prayer. So I hope that's enough to motivate us to pray and to persevere in prayer to God.